Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I am your hostess, Evangelist Yolanda Henderson, and your holistic health coach. I want to thank everyone who has joined me tonight, and I want to say that God is good. Once again, another week amongst the land of the living, and we want to be glad in it tonight. So I want to thank all of the listeners tonight and anybody who wants to call in. I do have a guest calling number. That number tonight is 516-531-9837. 516-531-9837 is the number to call in if you have any questions or concerns about whatever I am talking about. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get right on going tonight with the prayer. And as I always say every week, I love to start out with the prayer. So if everyone could come into submission with me as we come together in unity and say our prayer to our Father which art in heaven. God, Father God, I want to thank you for this day, Lord. I want to thank you for allowing us to have one more day, God, that was not promised to us, Lord. I want to thank you for just the joy, God, the spirit of truth, God, that you have set before us. For everyone that's listening or that will listen later, Father God, for grace and mercy, God, that was not promised to us, God, for knowing that you died and was resurrected as we celebrated Resurrection Sunday on yesterday, God. How thankful and marvelous it was to be together in unity for those of us who have loved ones and those who are still grieving over the loved ones that are not amongst us, God. We ask that you continue to hold us and keep us together, Father God, and know that everyone is still with us in spirit and in truth, God, and that you, Lord, has risen and that we will all rise again, Father God, one day. We thank you for this day again, God, and I thank you for the many blessings that we have, God. Some people don't have that, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. All right, so thank you for listening again this another Monday night, another blog talk, and this episode and series is dealing with the loss of a loved one, okay? And since this is the first Monday of the month, this is the first part of this series, and we're going to be talking about how grieving is important, okay? And almost all people have dealt with some type of grief. There's different types of grief, okay? So there's grieving of our loved ones through death. There's grieving through relationships, through divorce, through breakups. There's grieving of jobs and homes. So there's different types of grieving, and we're going to talk about those types of grieving tonight. We might not get into all of them, but that's why we have a four-part series this month, four parts. Okay, so in this series, we're going to talk about what grief is, okay? Why is grieving important and to complete those stages? And we want to talk about the stages of grief, okay? And if you have any questions tonight, please give us a call at 516-531-9837 to ask any questions. Okay, so grief. Let's start by asking a question. What is grief? A lot of people don't know what grieving is and why is it good or natural for us to grieve and how to cope when you're grieving, okay? So I know everyone, like I said, has experienced some type of grief, okay? So we're going to talk about the grieving process and what grief is. Grief is a natural response to the loss of someone or something very dear to us. Losses that may lead to grief include the death or separation of a loved one, loss of a job, death or loss of a beloved pet, or any number of other things in life, such as divorce, becoming an empty nester, or retirement. Anyone can experience grief and loss, but each person is unique in how he or she copes with these feelings. Some responses are healthy coping mechanisms, while others are hindering the grieving process. The acknowledgement of grief, time, and support facilitate the grieving process, allowing an opportunity for a person to appropriately mourn a loss and then heal. Okay? So common reactions to grief or loss is based upon this. The stages of grief reflects a variety of reactions that may surface as an individual tries to make sense of how a loss affects him or her. An important part of the healing process is to allow oneself to experience and accept all feelings that are experienced. The following are the stages of grief. Okay? So this is the stages of grief, and everyone should listen to this because sometimes they can be said different ways. According to WebMD, denial, numbness, and shock, okay? And these stages serve to protect the individual from experiencing the intensity of the loss, okay? It may be useful when the grieving person must take action, for example, making the funeral arrangements. Numbness is a normal reaction to immediate loss and should not be confused with lack of caring. As the individual slowly acknowledges the impact of the loss, denial, and disbelief will diminish. Okay? So the next stage is bargaining stage. And this stage may involve persistent thoughts about what could have been done to prevent the loss. People can become preoccupied about ways that things could have been better. If this stage is not properly resolved, intense feelings of remorse or guilt may interfere with the healing process, okay? Depression is also a stage of grief, and it occurs in some people after they have realized the true extent of the loss. Signs of depression may include sleep and appetite disturbances, a lack of energy and concentration, crying spells. A person may feel loneliness, emptiness, and isolation, and self-pity, okay? So some examples of the depression, you know, this may not be something that you're prone to all the time. It may not be something that you go through, but depression is real. It exists in a lot of people's lives, especially in women's lives. And sometimes we don't know why we're depressed, and it could be that we're still grieving. We may have grieving the loss of a home or a child or a loved one or a relationship, and you wake up and you cry, or you find yourself in a lonely state of mind, or in the you know, down in the dumps, and we have to remember that God is with us and he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So in that time of sorrow, there is a God that has an understanding and will help us heal and get through these stages. Just trust in him. Okay, so the next stage that I want to talk about is anger. Okay, so this reaction usually occurs when an individual feels helpless and powerless. Okay, so anger can stem from the feeling of abandonment through a loved one's death. An individual may be angry at a higher power or God or towards life in general. And sometimes you can take out that anger and resentment on other people. And before you know it, you done blew up a relationship, or you done lost a job, or you done, you know, quit paying bills, or you just stop life in general and you start blaming God for everything. I know a lot of relationships that have fallen apart. People start blaming God. Well, God, why did I have to go through this? Or why did I have to meet this person? Or why did this person decide to come in my life? Or why did you take them away from me? So we get angry with God. and we don't look at what God is trying to do in our lives through this situation. Okay? Acceptance. Accept time, and an individual may be able to come to terms with various feelings and accept the fact that the loss has occurred. So, healing can begin once the loss becomes integrated into an individual's set of life experiences. Okay, and then remember, throughout a person's lifetime, he or she may return to some of their earlier stages of grief. It's like going backwards, okay? Once you didn't already got out of denial, the numbness, and the shock, you're supposed to move forward to the stages. Some people get to anger and they go back up to the denial and the numbness process. Okay, some people may even, after they start trying to get to the stages of acceptance, may start and go back to the anger phase. So what we want to do as people that grieve, and it's normal to grieve, is we want to move forward to get to that healing process in order for us to learn and do what God wants us to do in our lives, okay? There is no time limit, though, okay, to grieve the process, okay? So everybody has their own time frame through whichever stage that they're in, okay? So nobody should ever just be rushed out of whatever grieving process or tell people, oh, it's going to be okay. You know, it's normal to grieve. So it's okay to take your time and have your moments to grieve that loss, okay? Or you will go back into those other stages, and that's something that we don't want to do. Okay, so again, it's important to interpret the stages loosely and expect much individual variation. There is no neat progression from one stage to the next. And in reality, there is much looping back. Four stages can hit at the same time, okay, or they can occur out of order. So why bother with the stage models at all? And the reason why we do that is because they're a good general guide of what to expect when we're grieving. For example, generally a long period of depression, not clinically depression, but grieving depression, or isolation and loneliness happen late in the grieving process, months after the tragedy strikes. It actually is normal and expected for you to be very depressed and sad 8 months later. So don't listen to someone who says, well, why are you still dealing or coping with that? Or why do you still have that problem? Or what makes you, you know, want to be sad? That's over. That's been done and over with a year ago. No. Grieving stages can take years and months and months and months before you actually can come into that acceptance stage and understand the reason for the loss. Okay, so it's normal. Siders looking in at the situation, they don't understand this. And sometimes they feel that it should be time for you to get over it. Okay? We never want to, if it's someone that you're with or a loved one that has experienced a loss, you never want to get to that point with them and say, well, darn, haven't you been grieving enough? No, that's not the best thing to say. You allow them to take the time to grieve and to come into their own stage at their own timing. Okay, so just knowing that your desire to be alone with your sad reflections at this time is normal and will help you deal with outside pressures. You are acting normally. They just don't get it. So it's okay, okay? It's okay if you're not there mentally and you need to take that time to grieve and to be at a point in your life where you're okay with the death of your loved one. So, again, the stages are shock and denial, which is probably you reacting to learning of the loss and the numbed disbelief, okay? And you may really deny the reality of the loss at some level in order to avoid the pain. Okay, so what that's pretty much saying is you cover up what's going on, or you say, okay, I thought I dealt with this, or I thought I was going to be okay, or I thought, I wasn't as close as I was needing to be with this person, that, I'm not really numb. I'm just going to live life and pretend like it didn't happen. Okay, so that's probably the shock, okay, and that's the denial and the numbness. So shock provides emotional protection from being overwhelmed all at once, and that stays usually lasts weeks, and it can last a couple of months, but usually it lasts for a couple of weeks. The pain and the guilt. So, and this is after the shock, as I mentioned earlier. It wears off and is replaced with the suffering and the unbelievable pain. Although excruciating and almost unbearable, it is important that you experience the pain fully and not hide it, avoid it, or escape from it with alcohol or drugs. So sometimes a lot of people feel like they can't take the pain. And if you ever lost a loved one, you know how excruciating the pain could be of that loss or of that loved one. Usually sometimes this can occur during the funeral or at the cemetery, or once you get back and you realize everything is going on, that shock has initially wore off, okay? That denial has become real, feeling that you can't get rid of. That's usually what they call the painful stage, the pain and the guilt stage, okay? And a lot of people try to cover up the pain and the guilt with drugs and alcohol, or they'll drink themselves to that numb stage, to that numbness. And that's something that we don't want to do, because we need to feel that pain. We need to come to terms with that pain. We need to feel that pain in order to help us to heal, okay? Because once the pain and the acceptance of the person being gone from your life has hit, you may, say, okay, well, I'm okay with it now, and then you let it go. But you have to do that in your own time, and then you have to know that that's normal process. It's a normal process to feel pain. Okay, so, and after you you have the guilty feelings or the remorse over things you did or you didn't do with your loved one, life feels chaotic and scary during these phases. So, after that is anger and bargaining, okay? Again, that's like the third stage. Frustration gives way to anger. You may lash out and lay unwarranted blame for the death on someone else. So we ask, that we try to control this, as permanent damage to your relationships may result. This is a time for the release of the bottled up emotion, okay? That's when you start getting angry and you start blaming other people for the lack of maybe the lack of care or the lack of you being there, and you get angry with yourself and you feel like, life is not worth living because you're upset or you're angry, or a relationship is not worth keeping with another loved one behind the grieving process. And you see this a lot of times with people. Maybe if you've ever seen a fight at a funeral, or a fight amongst parents or children after parents die, when they, start to feel like someone could have done something else, or, it's just a big situation to deal with. And that's the anger and bargaining phase, okay? So you may also question, why me? Why you? You may also try to bargain in vain with the powers that be for a way out of your despair. Like, I will never drink again if you just bring him back. You'll start compromising things, okay, especially in the relationships phase. Okay, you get to praying and you get to thinking, well, Lord, if I just would have done this right, if I just would have kept my mouth shut, if I just would have stopped, nagging, or whatever the what-if phase of it, bargaining, is normal for grieving a loss, if it was a pet, an example could be, or if I just would have wouldn't have taken him out at 3 o'clock during the traffic or the school or whatever, then he'll still be here, you know. So that's part of the bargaining stage, okay? It's normal. We all will go through it, okay? But know that that anger of that and that wanting to lash out at others for those reasons is not appropriate, and we don't want to ruin further relationships or relationships for the next person because we're in a continuous grieving, but we want to make sure that we grieve through all the stages so we're ready to move forward to the next phase in our lives. Okay, so the depression, the reflection, and the loneliness I talked about a few minutes earlier was just when your friends may think you should be getting on with your life. A long period of sad reflection will likely overtake you. And again, this is a normal stage of grief. So don't be talked out of it by well-meaning outsiders. And again, listen, outsiders sometimes don't understand because they're not grieving the exact same grief with you. Don't get upset with them. Just know that they don't know what it's like, okay? Just like you don't know, they don't know what it's like to be you, and you probably don't know what it's like to be them. So if they're giving you advice on grieving, then you probably should get some professional counseling, a coach, or someone who knows about grieving to be there for you. Okay, and that's the support through the grieving process. All right. So encouragement from others is not helpful to you during this stage of grieving, okay? And that's usually, like I said, the depression, the reflection, and the loneliness. You want to be alone. You want to feel like you are going to be able to deal with your loss at this time. So you can really, truly understand what's going on. And so during this time, you finally realize that the true magnitude of your loss, and this is probably when you start your depression stage, okay? So at this stage, you isolate yourself from others on purpose and reflect on things you did with your lost loved one and focus on the memories of the past. You may even sense feelings of emptiness or despair. Okay. So, the next phase is the upward turn. As you start to adjust to life without your loved one, comes a little calmer and more organized. Your physical symptoms lessen and your depression begins to lift slightly. Okay. And then after that is the reconstruction and working through phase. As you become more functional, your mind starts working again, and you will find yourself seeking realistic solutions to problems posed by life without your loved one. You will start to work on practical and financial problems and reconstructing yourself and your life without him or her. Mm-hmm. The next stage is acceptance and hope. During this, which is the last of seven stages in the model of grief, is you learn to accept and deal with the reality of your situation. Okay, so acceptance doesn't mean that you have instant happiness, okay, or instant joy. Okay, given the pain and the turmoil you've experienced, you can never return to be carefree, untroubled you that existed before this tragedy. Okay, but you will find a way forward. Some people have even gone to say that you can even have post-traumatic stress syndrome from losing a friend or a family member, especially if there's veterans or war veterans that's gone to war with loved ones and their loved ones died, okay? They have experienced PTSD in their stage of grief, okay? So, if I have any callers that have any questions, I'd like to take this time to open phones for anyone who has questions before I go on to the next part. And the next part, I'm going to go to scripture about grief. So if you have any questions, please give me a call at 516-531-9837. Okay, well, I'm back. Your host is Evangelist Yolanda Henderson, and I'm going to be talking about grief from a biblical standpoint. And we can go to our Bibles, and if you have your loved ones that want to share in with the conversation and what gain that brings, please feel free to give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Again, the number is 516-531-9837. I have a couple of poems as well, okay? And I think this is an awesome time to talk about this because there was a point of time in the Bible where Jesus wept over the loss of a loved one. And it was his great dear friend Lazarus who had died. And once he heard of the death, he wept. So we know that it has to be human nature to weep and cry over the loss of a loved one. It's okay. Okay? I'm not here to judge you. You're not here to judge me. We're all wanting to be a support when it comes to losing someone that we dearly love. Okay, is the gateway into everlasting life. Okay, it may not the end of the journey be more joyous than the beginning. Usually we rejoice at the birth of a child, but we mourn when loved ones pass on. If we consider more thoughtfully what is involved in each event, possibly our reaction will be quite different. First of all, we may say that there is no mystery surrounding birth than death. How little do we really know about the origin of life beyond the words of Genesis? So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's in Genesis 1:1. And more specifically, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Okay? And that's in Genesis 1:27. Similarly, with this implications, John's words assert that God is the ultimate source of our life. Jesus, knowing that he was come from God and went to God in John 13:3, beyond this simple fact, our origin is not described. Okay, so the Bible deals in much greater detail with the present and the future than with the past. Our interest just now concerns the future, even omitting prophecies whose specific meanings are frequently disputed by many of Jesus' own words directly dealing with things to come. Okay, so everyone in the New Testament books directly or implication sheds light on the things that will happen beyond this age in which we're living. So on the basis of what we know this world to be and what we believe the future to hold in store for God's children, there is reason for saying that the end of our journey here should be more joyous than the beginning. The uncertainties, the anxieties, the suffering, the pain, the misunderstandings, the fruits of sin in one form or another are unavoidable here. Okay? At its best, life is a struggle against evil forces within and without. that caused many a devoted servant of God to sob, "Oh Lord, how long?" That life is so imperfect and incomplete, so full of confusion and even despair, is one of the tragedies of our present existence. The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. That's what Paul says in Romans 7 and 19. On the other hand, the teaching of Jesus and his apostles, a glorious imagery of revolution, disclosed to us that now we see in a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And that's in 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. To the extent that we, by faith, have accepted God's forgiveness and pardon in Jesus Christ, so that the course of sin is removed, death becomes a home-going celebration. So, John Oxon has well expressed his Christian view of death in the following lines. This is a poem. Shapeless and grim, a shadow dim, o'erhung my ways and darkened all my days. All who saw with bated breath said it is death. And I in weakness, slipping towards night, in sore flight, looked up and lo, no specter grim, but just a dim, sweet face, a sweet high mother face, a face like Christ's own mother's face, a light with tenderness and grace. Thou art not death, I cried, for life's supremest fantasy had never thus ambiguous death to me. Thou art not death, the end. In accents winning came the answer, friend, there is no death. I am the beginning, not the end. So truly, okay, we may all rejoice when God unfolds a new life, as infants come to bless our home and gradually take the place God has planned for them here. But to those of experience and deeper insight, it cannot be unmingled joy. Likewise, our hearts sadden when loved ones are called from our side or out of our circle. But need not be an experience of unmingled through death leaves us lonely for the tender physical presence that we miss. Our hearts may be glad for the happiness of those who have passed through death to life. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And that's in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For such the words apply, for Christ here with Christ yonder. Okay? And a prayer for a time of grief. And this is by F.B. Myers. O death, thou angel of God, thou doest seem to rob us of our treasures, but thou doest really make them ours forever in the dew of the immortal youth, transfiguring them with the light that can never fade from their faces of our lives, blotting out only what we are glad to forget, preserving what we love in imperishable beauty. Okay? So this is, again, this is the death and the loss of one in the grieving process of the death of a loved one, okay? So what the Bible says about heaven, he says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and that's in Revelations 21 and 4. He describes heaven as a city without tears. God wipes away all tears up yonder. There is a time of weeping, but by and by there will be a time when God shall call us where there will be no tears. A city without pain, a city without sorrow, without sickness, and without death. Think of a place where temptation cannot come, for we shall be free from sin, and where the righteous shall reign forever. And think of a city that is not built with hands, where buildings do not grow old with time, a city whose inhabitants are numbered by no census except the book of life. So think of a city where no heresies, where the nodding plums creep slowly with their sad burdens to the cemetery, a city without griefs or graces, without sins or sorrows, without marriages or mournings, without births or burials. A city which glories in having Jesus for its king, angels for its guards, and whose citizens are saints. That sounds way too good to be true. That's awesome. The city and the time and the life that we live in, there's so much grief and sorrow and pain. There's so much sin and theft and hurt and betrayal. I mean, and like I said earlier, we cry when someone dies, but we rejoice at birth. I find myself doing this even now in preparation for a baby shower, in preparation for a new bundle of joy. Not only am I in preparation, but I'm excited to see him. I'm excited to know what it's going to be like here in our home with our and as a new addition to our family. But is that really an exciting time? We all may say in our minds, yes, 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 it's exciting, a new addition. But in what God is saying is that when another life comes into this life, there's going to be much sorrow here, much pain, more sin, the surrounding of the people and the world of this world, the ruler of this world, I rather say, is Satan and his demons. And we want to express our lives so that we're going to go to heaven and accept Jesus. And we have to teach our younger generations to trust God and to accept God so that they may one day go to heaven and be with their loved ones again. Okay? So, questions, like I was saying, the stage of the question and the bargaining stages. Okay, and this legitimate question when loved ones are called from our side is, how can God do this to me? Okay, and because the answer will help us definitely to find our God-appointed place in his total plan. Possibly it can be answered indirectly by asking, why should this not happen to me? Is there any reason why I should escape the sorrow and heartaches of others? Okay, so this is a legend that tells of a woman who lost her only child. In her grief, she went to a prophet and begged him to restore the child to her. The old man looked long and understandingly at her and then tenderly counseled, "Go and bring me a handful of rice from some home where sorrow has not entered, and I shall grant your wish." The little mother began her search. Here and there she went. But always the reply to her question was the same. In every dwelling there was an empty chair at the table, a vacant seat before the hearth. So slowly the sorrow of others touched her sorrowing heart. Soon her sympathy went out to them in their grief. Gradually the waves of her own despair subsided. She found comfort in the universal presence of sorrow. Death is an unavoidable part of our experiences on this planet. When it comes, no bird stops its singing. All life continues to move along, oblivious to our personal sorrows. At first, it seems very cruel, but on second thought, it reveals the naturalness of the experience. Every moment marks the passing of someone into great beyond, a loved one of some family, friend, or neighbor. So if we can all think about how many friends and family members we know that has lost someone, then that could help us get over the grieving process because we stop looking at our own pain and we think about someone else's pain and how they must feel. The moral of that story is, God is not only doing it to you. He's taking everybody away. And if they're ready and they're willing to go to heaven and they've accepted Christ, they're going to a much, much, much better place than this old filthy earth. So why can't I just understand it? And we asked ourselves this question time and time again. Okay? So, on one hand, who are we to question God's wisdom and his ways? Should we not rather come to the conclusion of Job? The universe is in thy hands, O God. I realize thy majesty and the power. To Job's thoughts, we can add the words of Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Also, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Okay, and they're eternal. Likewise, do Jesus' words to Peter apply here when he says, what I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Okay? So that's a good way to answer your question of God doing such things to us. Okay? And we can use this also to other grieving stages. An example such as the loss of a job or loss of a relationship. Look around in this world and you see all kinds of things going on. Why me, God? Go and look in the orphanage shelter and see how many kids that don't have their mothers. Look how many children that wish they had a father. Look how many people that, you know, and if you can look at someone's own despair and understand that God just don't pick on us. He uses those things for a reason.
I'm bleeding.
All right. Back to what we were discussing. I'm sorry, I had a little thing to take over my own little ones, but everything is okay. And we'll get back going. If you have any questions tonight, I want to go ahead and see about callers to call in. I usually try to get a signal when I get a call, but I haven't gotten one, so if anyone have a question about the grieving stages or about grief in general or the importance of why it's important to grieve, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to add, if you have something to say, please call us. The number here to be reached is 516-531-9837. Okay. I'm going to go over to what Paul says when he says about death, and what the Bible talks about death is about what gain does death bring, okay? Death for Christians is not an irreparable loss, a fearful thing, but rather do we join with Paul saying, to die is gain, okay? A deliverance, a new beginning, an entrance into a larger sphere of life experience, fellowship, and service. Death is not a state of unconscious sleep and insensibility. It is a state of recognition and remembrance. While we are unable to grasp with any degree of of fullness, the details, there are thrilling intimations in the New Testament of what awaits to the believer, okay, after death. And Paul declares that the believer will be immediately with Christ. We exchange time for eternity. Time is a probationary period filled with toils and trials, tears and disappointments. Eternity is a settled state with steady progress in life and knowledge. We exchange comparative darkness for clear light. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. So we exchange present limited knowledge for knowledge with our new state. So now I know in part, but then shall I know even so I also, even as also I am known. And that's in 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. If you have your Bibles, please follow me if you want to hear these scriptures. That was 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. It says, the old sinful nature that led so often to discouragement and defeat has been definitely broken. The redeemed by the grace of God can put it off. That's in Ephesians 4 and 22. Keep it under and reckon it to be dead. In Romans 6 and 11. Make no provision for it. That's in Romans 13 and 14. They can now walk completely after the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So death in death, he's saying that there's no sorrow, there's no sin, there's no fleshly activities. You won't have women walking around in bikinis and men with six packs that you just want to grab them and lust after them and things like that, because there's not going to be any kind of lust. It's not going to be any kinds of sinful nature, okay? So death is gain because it brings the believer into the most congenial fellowship and environment, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh it a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So already God has started writing names in the Lamb's Book of Life of who's going to go to heaven and who's not. My prayer is that everyone listening tonight's name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we'll go and see eternity by the grace of God in his marvelous light, where there's no sin, there's no sorrow, there's nothing to make it an abomination or nothing to defile it, no fleshly activities, no worldly thoughts, but all pure and holy in presence and praise to our Lord and to our Savior. All right, so it says that all who are there will be in one faith and in knowledge. There will be no denominations. No, I'm a Baptist and I'm a Mormon, or I'm a saint of this church or that church. It won't be none of those things. They are there not because of their works, least should they not boast, but because they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And that's in Revelation 7 and 14. They are clean and pure surroundings. So to go through death's door means to join the collective citizenry of the kingdom of God that lies beyond. But ye are coming unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect. And that's in Hebrews 12:22 and 23. For a Christian, death is therefore less to be feared than to be welcomed. While death takes us from persons and things held dear, it makes possible the full enjoyment of the unsearchable riches of Christ, which are now known and experienced only faintly and imperfectly. Okay, so what do we know about life after death? We do know that dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So every human body was born, okay, with a spirit. The spirit man, God breathed life into us, has to go back to the creator, the person who owns your spirit. That's why everybody say they look at a lifeless body. Just imagine a loved one or someone that you lost in their lifeless body. There once was a spirit there, okay? That spirit once dwelt amongst us in that body as a vessel, as a temple, okay, for that spirit. Our spirits will one day go back to our Creator. It's the inevitable. Okay? So our new spiritual body shall be fashioned like unto His glorious body. And that's in Philippians 3:21. The resurrection body of Jesus. Okay, this new body will be our means of self-manifestation and inner communion. Over against the long unconscious sleep, we are assured that today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's in Luke 23:43. And I'm sure a lot of you heard about this yesterday, about the resurrection, and you know how God had came back in His body. He was in a resurrected body, okay? And that's the new body that God is going to give us. We die, and we die burned. Well, God is going to resurrect us a new body, okay? Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. That was what one of the men that was hanging with Jesus heard Jesus say. Okay, and in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, as well as in the transfiguration scene, the Old and the New Testament persons recognize each other. Okay, so while the words of Jesus about marriage have been thought to weaken the gospel of reunion with and recognition of loved ones, in heaven they will neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are the angels of God in Matthew 22:30. These words do not mean the husband and wife will not be uniquely related to each other in spiritual fellowship or that the family relationships will lose all meaning. The words do not mean that the reproduction of the race will cease. It is quite conceivable that uncongenital bonds, perhaps largely physical and therefore unhappy, will not hold two natures together on the other side. Okay? So you won't have to be in a relationship with somebody and feel like you're obligated to be with that person, or mother and daughter won't have that relationship problem because there won't be an entitlement there. You're not entitled to have any more babies in the physical. You're not entitled to marry in the physical anymore when you get to heaven. Okay? So Jesus did not deny the continuance of that exhaustive fellowship of spirit with spirit, which real lovers hold dearest in marriage. Okay? In fact, this very passage by emphasizing, I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living, is one of the clearest and most forceful statements for the continuance of personal existence. Which, of course, cannot be unrelated to the experiences that have caused the person to be what he is. So to be in heaven, as Christianity conceives it, is to be a member of a society of persons who seek God, themselves, and each other, as all truly are, without confusion or illusion, and love God, themselves, and each other with love of His true insight. That's how we are to be with our Christian fellow brothers and sisters. Not looking at them in the physical and for what they have and what they give us, but by looking at their spirit man and knowing that their love of God overradiates them and they love of you to let you know and to do better is a gain. All right. So if you have any questions, I'm going to stop right there, and we have about 5 minutes left, and I'm going to ask if there's any questions. I know I always do this, and I like to answer questions, and give a response, and I'll wait for any questions at this time. And while I'm waiting on that, I'd just like to tell everyone, thank you again for joining me. I am a certified holistic health coach, and I deal with a lot of relationships. I deal with weight loss. I deal with the joy level, spirituality, any area in your life, okay, that is a secondary food. I would like to call it a secondary food, not a primary food, not the food that you put into your actual body, but the secondary food is actually what feeds your soul, what feeds your inner man, your joy, your spirituality, your fitness, your physical activity, your home cooking, relationships with others, you know, and try to get to the root cause of what's going on in your life so that you may get past the emotional eating, so that you may come into grips with who God wants you to be and try to live a life of joy and happiness in the time that we have left here on earth, okay? So that is my job, and I love doing what I do. If you want a one-on-one consultation and you like to talk about something, you say, well, everything else in my life is going good, but my spirituality is not. I'm not feeling God in my spirit. I don't understand. Give me a call. If you want to know God and you want to accept Christ in your life, you can pray a prayer real quick and accept God and ask God to come into your life and join in with a true Bible-based church and get the knowledge, get fed in your spirit, getting that wholesome food, the spiritual food, and then you may decipher what it is God wants you to do in order to be up on this earth and do His will and not do our own will. We will become aligned in purpose for our lives and be happy and fulfilled Christians. The number to reach me at is 1-888-592-0093. Okay? And I can keep repeating it again and again. 1-888-959-2093. Also, we're getting ready to have our first annual fundraiser event, and that is Natural to Life. That is going to be three events under one roof. That is the AM, there will be a fashion show. We have a panel of wonderful speakers, including the Miss Black Texas 2015. She has contacted us, and she has confirmed her spot on stage to talk with our ladies about self-esteem, about self-awareness, about loving yourselves. We also have another large panel of women who's going to speak during the hair show. And then we have, after that, we have a talent show that night. And all of this event is one price, three events throughout the day with the intermission time for you to go and grab you something to eat. And come on back and join us again. Those tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster, Ticketmaster.com. And the name of the event is Natural to Life, okay? And we want to see as many people as we can join in our fundraiser because we have so much more things that we want to do in the kingdom, especially with our youth throughout the rest of the year. So if you could please come out and participate or join, you can email me for more information at yonorm13@gmail.com. And that's yonorm13@gmail.com. We have coming also is a children's wellness coach, and her name is Ms. Joy Stevens, and she will be with Wellness Kids, Kids Wellness, and she will be able to inform us on some things about our children and their health. So if you would like to visit our webpage, that's www.thegiftoflifecommunityhome.wordpress.com. You can find more information there. Thanks again for joining me. You all have a safe, blessed night, and I pray that God continue to bless you and keep you until next week. Have a good night.